It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5. Quitting time on your Friday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. It is The Drive, Top 5 at 5, brought to you by Citizens National Bank.
Number 1, once again, the big news today. If you haven't heard, Ty Simpson picked Alabama over the University of Tennessee today.
Wah, 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 Ty Simpson, what are you doing? Oh, well, on to the next one.
It's okay. We got Caden Salter. We're good.
We got Caden Salter, and we might have Sam Horn, and I've been provided some very interesting information on him. Stay tuned. I will divulge this important communication coming up here shortly.
Number 2, Tennessee Titans have released wide receiver Adam Humphries. Humphries has spent the last 2 seasons with the Titans.
Really? That did not go as planned. I was so excited when we got him because he had that great year with Tampa Bay, and you're thinking, okay, this is the guy in the slot that we're going to target. He's going to be the super third down possession receiver, the guy who goes over the middle and just gets you those 7 and 8 yard catches when you got to have them. And he was okay when he was healthy. He was just never healthy. He was always hurt.
Yeah, if that deal would have worked out the way they hoped, he is the Titans' Cole Beasley, but just couldn't stay healthy.
The Titans just – their problems at the receiver position for the past 20 years have been mind-boggling. The fact that they have not been able to get a true franchise receiver, and we thought it was going to be – Corey Davis, we thought it was going to be Kendall Wright, we thought it was going to be Tyrone Calico, remember back in the day? We signed Carl Pickens, and at the end of his career,
Old Randy Moss.
Old Randy Moss had a cameo in Nashville for a little bit, and it seemed like everybody has had that one first-rounder that worked out, everyone in the NFL during that period of time, except for the Titans. And I know Adam Humphries did not carry those kind of expectations, but I'm just talking about the position in general has been disappointing more often than not.
It is looking up, though, I will say. Number 3, the New England Patriots are already getting a big boost this offseason. 3 of their biggest opt-outs from this year's season, which include Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Marcus Cannon, have all announced that they plan on returning for the 2021 season.
Wow. Those guys are getting up there, huh?
That maybe would have made things interesting for the Patriots this previous year.
Yeah. They're just going to have to rebuild that roster. Any chance, are they in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes and trying to get in there?
That would surprise me. So they did have a ton of opt-outs on defense this past year.
The thing with the Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. It's just the king's ransom that you are going to have to give up to get either one of those guys. I just can't see Belichick doing that, although maybe he looks at last year and says he has to.
Number 4, speaking of the Texans, they have released running back Duke Johnson. Johnson appeared in 27 games for the Texans and totaled just under 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns in his career. His release will clear up just over $5 million in cap space.
Boy, the Texans, what a train. Did you see how they are fielding trade offers for Deshaun Watson?
No, how are they doing it?
Well, they're not, first of all. They've made that clear. They say, we are not trading Deshaun Watson. And so the teams that want him have been calling, and nobody will answer. So they've been leaving voicemails. They've been leaving trade proposals via voicemail at the Texans' home offices.
They could have a voicemail sitting there with just superstar quarterback, superstar running back, yeah. 2 stud receivers,
how does
never
that
know.
Work? This is Bill Belichick. I'd just like to make a trade offer. I'll give you a third rounder and Patrick Chung for Deshaun Watson. Call me back. Or is it like a bear angry voicemail that I get during UT games in the fall? Hey, pick up the phone. I want your quarterback.
I mean, that would be something. I don't know if they'd have a lot of luck with it. So are the Texans the most dysfunctional franchise now in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. Is there a close second?
Yeah,
I mean,
Texans.
The Redskins.
Maybe the Redskins. Maybe the Raiders.
Hey, things are looking up for the Redskins.
Please, gentlemen, the football team.
Football team. Number five, the University of Tennessee has announced that this year's graduation will be held outside in Neyland Stadium as opposed to Thompson Bowling Arena. It will be a three-day process that allows this year's grads to walk across Shields-Watkins Field.
That's cool, man. I wish my graduation had been at Neyland Stadium.
I might decide to actually walk now.
Walk, don't run. Like the Ventures sang. Is that it?
Yeah, that was number five.
Thank you, Adam Hickman.
All right.
Top 5 of 5, brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. It's Financial Freedom Friday. Tax season is here. Are you ready? No? Well, you need to go over to our Twitter feed, at Fox Sports Knox, and find today's Financial Freedom Friday post from Citizens National Bank. It includes several very helpful tips to help you get ready to get your taxes done in as efficiently a manner as possible. Got a thing they do over at Citizens National Bank, free advice. Visit cnbtn.com to read more blog posts, including the tax help that they are offering today. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Let me get Dustin in here, as he's been hanging forever. Then I'll drop this Sam Horn knowledge on you. What's up, Dustin?
Guys, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Living the dream. I'm actually going to agree with Bear on this case, the Salters and the Simpson kid or whatever. And in my opinion, this feels like another Alvin Kamara situation for him. I think he did this, you know what I mean, to keep his spot with Bama. But I don't see him, from what he's got in front of him, he's not that good enough to overtake either one of those two kids. I don't see it. And the kid we have, the Salters kid, he's from Texas. And like Bear says, again, I can't believe I'm agreeing with him. He faces better talent. So, I mean, if the kid wants to go to Bama and ride the pine and transfer out to Blinn Community College than to Georgia Tech, that's fine. Whatever. Hey.
Who's the last quarterback from Texas we had? See if you guys can put on your thinking
hats. That's Quinn Dormady, sir.
That was Will McBride.
Wow.
Dormady after McBride.
We've had a bunch of Texas quarterbacks. So Dormady, McBride, and who remembers Nick Stevens, the red-headed warrior back in the day?
Oh, I do.
We're really doing a lot to sell Tennessee fans on the Texas high school quarterbacks coming to Tennessee with Will McBride, Nick Stevens, and Quentin Dormady.
No, I mean, that's just where I am. I don't really care if the kid goes to Bama because he's not going to do anything if he does. He's buried on the depth chart. Nick's doing, man.
Don't do this, Dustin. Don't do this.
No, that's my opinion watching the film on.
This is the tape.
This
is the tape we're going to play in 4 years after he wins a Heisman Trophy and a national championship. It's going to make it to all the national shows, and they're going to say, ha, 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 look at these stupid Tennessee fans. They thought Ty Simpson stunk.
I mean, I'll eat crow. I eat crow with the best of them. But if it does, good for him. If not, that's fine, too. I mean, if you don't want to be here, then okay, that's fine. But last thing before I head out, CAK girls play tonight in Jackson. I think it's the state quarterfinal. So my niece plays for them. So, you know, let's go. Let's go. Come on, Bear. Let's hear you say it. CAK.
Go, Lady Warriors. Let's go.
Come on. Come on, Bear.
Come on, Bear. Support local high school athletics.
Thanks, Bear. Gosh, y'all have a good one.
Let's go! C-A-K, C-A-K, the pride of Dutchtown Road. So, at a colleague who is very tied in on the high school football scene, speaking of high school athletics, and he had this to say on Darren Horn.
Sam Horn.
Who's Darren? Darren Horn's that dude who coached at South Carolina for a couple of years. Golly, man. Remember that guy, how bad he was? He was Bruce Pearl's way. Even Konzo Martin got in a few licks on Darren Horn.
Yeah.
Come over here, Darren Horn. I'm going to beat you 70-50. So this is what my guy said about Sam Horn. If Horn makes it to college, he and his dad are insisting that he is not required to participate in spring football so that he can do full-time baseball and be free for the bulk of the summer to pitch in the summer college baseball leagues. He wouldn't get back to football pretty much until fall camp begins.
Yeah, he's kind of like Caden Martin. He's a big-time baseball prospect.
I don't know how I feel about that, though. Like, has that worked out? Yeah, Jameis Winston was able to do it a couple of years ago.
If you're going to play college football in the SEC and play quarterback, you got to be 110% committed.
That's kind of how I think about it. Not saying don't recruit him. Look, we need to sign a highly touted guy. He's a four-star guy. I would go ahead and sign him anyway, but that does make me – if that's his path. And listen, we all love Tony Vitello, the program he's building. If he can help us in baseball, I'm all for it. But it makes me wonder how successful he'll be in football. But since we're kind of celebrating Caden Salter a lot here lately, if he's the guy, it might not matter. Sometimes you sign those guys, right? You got to sign a quarterback every year, and they're not all going to be multi-year starters. You think they are when you sign them. We all think, oh, man, this guy's going to be awesome. We all thought Will McBride, Nick Stevens, and Quentin Dormady were going to be starting quarterbacks when we signed them. They weren't. Not for any long length of time or with any great degree of success anyway. So yeah. If Salter's the guy, if he's your star and you sign Sam Horn and he doesn't really pan out, whatever happens, maybe Ty Simpson transfers here later, or maybe you sign another really good quarterback prospect in 2023 and he's the heir apparent to Salter.
Like maybe, well, let's see. What's Caden, a junior this year? Be a senior next year? That would make him what, class of 20?
What 23. Do you
mean? Is Caden Martin 22 or 23?
23.
Maybe you sign Caden Martin.
Maybe no, he's 22 because he's in the same class as Ty Simpson.
Yeah. So I've got a funny feeling that Caden Martin's going to get drafted in the pretty high up in that first round of the major league draft.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing college football.
No, I think he'll probably be on a pitching mound in the major leagues within the next 3 or 4 years. So
Willie is next, I think. Is Willie next?
Westchester.
Willie's not going to like that. Westchester, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Hey, I've got a name for y'all to look out for in basketball recruiting. It's a kid named Nick Krass, K-R-A-S-S, coming out of St. Patrick's in Biloxi, Mississippi. He's already got a full ride offer to from Kermit to go play over at Ole Miss, class of 22. Tennessee has expressed an interest in him, but has not pursued it. So keep an eye on him. He's gonna do good things. 6'4" forward, knows how to handle the ball. Or 6'4", I'm sorry, 6'4" guard, knows how to handle the ball. So we'll see what happens with him.
All right, a little Tennessee basketball recruiting information from Westchester.
Hey, Bear, are the Catholic ladies, are they still playing
basketball? That I'm not sure about. They've really improved their program of late, from what I understand. Might come as a shock to all you guys, but I don't follow girls basketball that closely.
Why not?
So even not knowing that, you still could support a listener's.
Yeah, if they were as good as the boys program, would you be more supportive of Catholic girls basketball?
I'd probably be a little more willing to do it, but I'm just not a big fan of the women's game. I'm sure it's good and everything. It just never really caught my attention.
What do you mean? You like basketball? You like your schools? Why don't you like women's basketball?
I just don't. Never have.
In his defense, there's a lot of people that don't like women's basketball in Tennessee, and we have one of the premier programs in the country.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
Yeah. I really didn't. It's just reality. But
No, you guys don't sound sexist or chauvinistic at all right now. Go right ahead.
Jeez. I'm not. I mean, oh, Westchester's the one saying all this stuff.
Let me show you how a sensitive and thoughtful and caring person answers that question in 2021, Bear. Hey, Bear, do you support Catholic girls basketball? Oh, yeah. Love those girls. They do a great job. We're really proud of our program. It's outstanding. That's all you got to say.
Oh, fine, Russ. Catholic girls are playing. They play Saturday before the boys. They're in the Elite Eight as well as the boys team.
And you're really invested emotionally, and you hope they win because, gosh darn it, you love your school.
So since
they haven't been good in a long, and I mean a long time.
Oh, so you're a fair weather fan.
When it gets to be over 20 years, I don't really think you could get painted with a Fairweather fan.
I've heard Phil and Bear, the altar boys, phone calls for going on 20 years now, and they didn't talk very much about Catholic football 10 years ago. It's funny how they just started the past.
Yeah, we did.
Ten years ago,
Harrison Smith was over there.
12 years. Catholics been good for about 12
go back
years.
Further than that. Catholic got good in football back in the, once they moved out west. They had good teams before, and they were in single A. Just kept getting screwed by, having to go play in Morgan County all the time.
Yeah, then they were in a really, really tough. They were in a really tough 3A division when Harrison Smith was here for a while, and they found a way to dominate that. Recruiting, cheating, all that good stuff. Multiplier rule sucks. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
I'm sorry. Where were we?
I don't know.
865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Willie dropped. Told you.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. I was looking forward to riding the rails with a Willie phone call. Oh, is he going to say something to get run, or is he actually going to have a decent phone call? You never know. It's that unpredictability of a Willie phone call that I enjoy. Is he going to talk about sports, or is he going to talk about his gigantic dog who almost ate him?
Have you seen a picture of his dog?
Willie is back.
Sweet.
His ears were burning. Willie, you're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up?
That's pretty cool. Y'all talking about Montana. Hey, I tell you what, old Dustin, I agree with Dustin 100%. I watched a bunch of film on that Ty Simpson yesterday. I think he's going to go down there. If he ever starts for Alabama, I think he'll be like the guy that just left. I think he'll be a junior or senior before he sees the field. He's not going to go down there and play the first couple of years.
Boy, the guy who just left is getting set to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. I'd say that's a pretty good career.
Well, that's okay, but I'm just saying, if he doesn't want to be there, to hell with him. I think Sam Horn's better.
Yeah.
And as far as you little whippersnapper there answering the phones talking about you can't play in the SEC if you play a quarterback, if you play baseball, one of the greatest quarterbacks in Tennessee – football history was Condridge Holloway. He played baseball 4 years.
Wait, well, Willie, that's ancient history. That was like in the 1970s.
That was 50 years ago.
It doesn't make a damn. If you can play, you can play.
You watch your tone of voice, Adam, when you're talking to Willie.
Yeah, Adam. Know your place, young man.
Oh,
my apologies.
Yeah. Whoa. Gentlemen, please. Let's lower the tension level just a little bit.
Hey, I'd rather have Caden Salter than Ty Simpson. What do you think, Bear?
You get your wish.
He's just put more on film, and the big thing is he played at one of the highest level in the country. It doesn't get any more competitive than that top classification in Texas.
And Ty Simpson played against Bulls Gap.
I mean, I wish Ty Simpson all the luck in the world. I do agree with you. It may be his junior year. He may have made the right decision because it very well may be his junior year before he actually gets to start down there. But, again, I agree with Russell. He could end up being like, what's his name, Mac, whatever, and end up playing his way into being a first-round draft pick.
I just like to point out, since we're going ancient history and dropping Condidge Holloway references on the show, Heath Shuler played in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina. There's literally a road called the Road to Nowhere in his neck of the woods. Andy Kelly played at Ray County, right?
Ray County had a great program back then.
Peyton Manning played at a private school in New Orleans with a student body of like 800 kids.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was an absolutely exclusive college prep.
I'm just saying.
I don't care one bit that he didn't commit to Tennessee. Not one bit.
This show is either going to be you guys are either going to sound like geniuses in 4 years when we review this tape, or like the biggest morons in the history of the world.
No, I think we both said that, at least I did, he may end up playing his way into being a first-round draft pick in the NFL. All I'm saying is I'm not losing my mind over it like I would at some other positions, because we've got a four-star quarterback coming out of Cedar Hill, Texas, with a rocket launcher arm. I'm not that worried about it. If we didn't have if Caden Salter had flipped Texas, I'd probably be losing my mind right now. But he did.
Guys, I'm gonna get on the Jim Rome train. In Heupel we trust.
Have a take. Don't suck. Thank you. You listen to Romy back in the day too, Willie?
I don't know what channel he comes on. Yeah, back in the day I used to. Yeah, when we got him on local radio, I used to enjoy his show.
Great stuff. Willie, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate you.
You too.
Pull you up some audio. We got some audio from Jim Rome with Josh Heupel. Here is the head coach of the Vols talking about the evolution of his offense yesterday on national radio.
You're going to change from year to year in what you're doing. Our overall philosophy will not change as far as trying to apply pressure, playing with tempo, trying to create matchups to give opportunities for guys to go win. But you're going to change based on your personnel. And I think that's been true of, you know, when we were in Missouri and led this league in offense for 2 years, we had a certain style of who we were based on our personnel. Went to UCF. It changed subtly year to year, in particular with the different quarterbacks that we played with, but then our skill guys as well. You have to adjust and put your kids in a position of success. You know, first team meeting, I told our players, if we got three great tight ends, we'll play with three tight ends on the field. We'll play with five wideouts if that's our best personnel package. At the end of the day, our players are responsible to show that they're going to play at a championship level. They do that. It's our responsibility as coaches. To find a way to put them in a position and get them on the football field to go be successful.
That's your new head coach. He speaks in complete sentences. He correctly conjugates the verb to do. That is a drastic improvement over previous circumstances. But he whiffs on his first big recruiting challenge today. In fairness to him, Nick Saban had about a 2-year head start in that one. But the fact that our hat is still on the table out there is a minor victory in and of itself. So my prediction is we're going to get the Horn kid. Sam Horn's going to turn around and commit to Tennessee here in the next month or so. And I think we're going to be able to put together a decent class. The sword of the NCAA that lingers and hangs over Josh Heupel's head is unfortunate. Saw where Donnie Plowman on Vol Calls earlier this week said, probably won't know anything until football season on that. Huh. They hope the investigation to be complete here in the next month or so, but I feel like they said that a month ago.
Right.
So who knows?
They did.
Who knows if that's going to be true? And then it's going to be up to the NCAA, and we'll be at their mercy, which is not a good place to be, but it is what it is. Quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. a shocking and disturbing story on the docket this afternoon, brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Los Angeles Police Department is examining horrifying surveillance video showing two individuals attacking Lady Gaga's dog walker.
Ooh.
They shot him and then fled the scene with the singer's two French bulldogs. Shot the man in the chest twice and kidnapped her dogs.
Dognapped her dogs.
Thank you, Bear.
No problem, Russ.
Footage recorded by a home surveillance camera shows the dog walker on Sierra Bonita Avenue in Hollywood on Wednesday night when a light-colored sedan slows down and stops next to him. At least two people can be seen exiting the vehicle and accosting the dog walker. In the video, the victim is heard shouting, "No, no," as he struggles. One man is seen restraining the victim as the other appears to point a gun. As a gunshot rings out, the victim is seen falling backward as the men race back to the car. You can hear the surveillance footage. The man complains he's been shot in the heart and the lungs, and the two dogs have been stolen. Neighbors rushed to help and were able to save his life until paramedics got there. He's still alive. But the dogs have been stolen and are still missing.
And did they have to shoot him to get the to get the dogs, or I mean, were they? Was he? Did they know whose dogs they were stealing? I've got a lot of questions,
yeah.
Russell.
I'm guessing they probably knew whose dogs they were. You don't kidnap dogs unless you think you're going to get a ransom.
Yeah, I know that she's offered a reward for their return, no questions asked, but I'm not sure if the LAPD is going to go along with that.
Is that the ultimate bleep you money when you hire a dog walker?
And you know he's probably making like $100,000 a year too.
And in Hollywood, that's probably a business, a professional dog walker. It's probably a business owner who hires dog walkers to go out there and walk celebrities' dogs or just plain old rich people's dogs. I'll send a guy over and he'll walk your dogs around the block a couple of times so you don't have to.
I mean, in her defense, I imagine it would be kind of hard for her to.
Sure.
You know, they might have kidnapped her instead
of
the dog.
Probably why she has a dog walker.
Yeah.
Anyway, very disturbing story. We will keep you up to date on the search for Lady Gaga's dogs. A $500,000 reward is already up for the two dogs, Koji and Gustav.
That's some rich people dog names right there. What was it?
Koji, K-O-J-I, and Gustav.
Yeah. That's some.
How do you even relate to a dog named Gustav? You have a dog. Hey, come here, Bo. Come here, Bo. Come here, Buck. Come here, you know, whatever your dog's name is. Come here, Gustav. Come here, Gustav. Oh, that's a good boy. Yeah, Gustav. Like, you can't do that, right? Nobody feels in a loving dog manner with a dog named Gustav. Gustav.
No, I mean, that's
good boy,
a total
Gustav.
Rich person's dog's name. You know.
$500,000. I wonder how much somebody would offer for me if I were to be kidnapped. Nate's like, yeah, our afternoon drive radio host, Russell's been kidnapped. We've taken up a collection from the boys here at the office and offering a reward of $57 and a $25 Qdoba gift card to whoever returns Russell alive,
I'd
preferably.
Have five on it. I mean, I would. I'd put five down for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bear.
Who am I kidding, Russell? I'd rescue your ass.
So I'm going to be sitting in some dark room in one of those wooden chairs with my hands tied behind my back,
yeah.
Blindfolded, feet duct taped to the chair.
Yeah.
The killers are coming in periodically to give me sips of water or maybe a bite of soup. And all of a sudden, Bear barges in.
Let's go. We got a show to do.
Russell, where are you? Hold on just a minute. Catch my breath, then I'm going to rescue you.
Oh, I don't smoke anymore, big boy, so I've got my wind back now. I don't make those crazy noises anymore. I've noticed that. So
Come on, dude.
When's the last time you heard me wheeze or do the wheezing laugh on you? I didn't wheeze laugh on you yesterday.
Oh, there was a good one. Yeah, there was an epic wheeze laugh yesterday. I can't remember. It was towards the end of the show. It might have been Willie.
Huh. The Herman Munster? That's what my family calls it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but I'm doing that on purpose.
That's the docket brought to you by the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Assignment for Adam and Alex. I want a laugh reel of Bear just... Oh, I can't do it now. Oh, you made me choke up. Just like... 10 minutes of that.
That could definitely be a thing.
No, you're not going to do it, Adam. Or you can find your way on to overtime.
Folks, you need a lawyer. You need the best in the business. You need one of our own, an East Tennessee native, a UT grad, a UT College of Law grad, somebody who's appeared in courts in over 80 counties. In Tennessee, somebody with a unique perspective on the law in our state and our state's legal system. You need the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Specializes in consumer defense cases, bankruptcy, and family law. He also does personal injury and criminal cases as well. Bottom line, if you need legal advice, you're going through a problem, you need to talk to a good lawyer, call the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. As always, the phone call is free. The advice is free. So what do you have to lose? Call 865-801-9250 today. That's 801-9250 to set up your free consultation with Jerry. Or go online to jrglawtn.com. Law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Legal expertise you can rely on. Yeah, like Willie turning back the clock to Condridge Holloway. If Condridge
can two sport athlete.
When was the last two sport athlete we had here that played football in another sport? Todd Helton?
Yeah, probably.
It's 25 years ago, bro.
Yeah. Who's the one on the team right now that is it Malachi?
Malachi Wideman.
Yeah, he was going to play basketball. That never happened. It's not going to happen. Trayvon Flowers was supposed to play baseball. That's not happened. Probably not going to happen. They all say in the recruiting process, they all lie to him and say, oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can play three sports. And they if you're playing football, you're playing football. You come to Tennessee on a scholarship, football scholarship, you're playing football year-round. It's a year-round job.
And if you do play football and another sport, the other sport is clearly your better sport.
Now, I will say track is the exception there. When all you have to do is pretty much show up and run. I know, is it Kenny Solomon has been running track for Tennessee? And he's been playing. He played a little bit, and he's a really good sprinter.
That's totally different. I mean, yeah. That used to be encouraged. That that's how we got. Willie Gault did it back in the day, and when we started getting away from that, bad things started happening.
Willie calling in the show. I don't see why old Sam Horn can't play baseball too. James Cool Papa Bell led Tennessee in rushing, was also the leading scorer on the basketball team. Was our top golfer, ran track, and played baseball too. Yeah, when did that happen? Well, 1942.
Wait, why you got to take a shot at Willie like that?
By the way, I'm rereading the great biography on General Neyland written by the legendary sports writer Bob Gilbert from out in Maryville and former Tennessee sports information guy. Who was also a huge fan and supporter of the show until his passing a couple of years ago. And going back and rereading that, just what a fantastic biography. And what an incredible – and again, I know it's completely different, but Neyland, in addition to being a great pitcher who could have been a Hall of Fame pitcher perhaps and a great football player – back in the leather helmet days, he was also the West Point champion heavyweight boxer back in the day. He'd crack some skulls. Bob Nealon was tougher than nails.
Well,
it's a different time, though. You could play everything. You'd be playing football and just go right. Nealon also, he was like a professional baseball player. They let you do that back in those days. You could go play you play football in the fall and then go right into, I guess he boxed or whatever. You go into baseball, and then in the summers, if you had time off, he would go back to Texas where he's from and just play in these weird baseball leagues. For like 25 bucks a game.
It used to not be that big of a deal. I mean, Bo Jackson played baseball and football at Auburn. You want to talk about a loaded, one of the most loaded teams in SEC history.
Yeah, but I'm saying he played professionally. Like he got paid for it back then.
Oh. Last time I checked, Bo Jackson got paid to do both.
Well played.
You know, have you not ever looked at that, it was like either the 84 or 85 Auburn baseball team. They had Bo Jackson, Frank Thomas. Ooh. Who else was on that? I mean, they were stacked. I remember going over there and watching them play when I was in high school. And they cranked some balls out of the old stadium. That was back before they did all the renovations on it.
Speaking of cranking some balls out of the ballpark, Tennessee baseball, they are underway. They're in the fourth inning, and I understand this one kid.
Hot.
Yeah, Jordan Beck hit his third home run of the season, a solo blast in the third inning. And UT Baseball Twitter not doing a good job of giving us the score. 2-1, I believe, in the fourth.
Yeah. I'm telling you, what, if we get down towards the end of the season, we may have to do a live remote from the stands there. I feel like, you know, Coach Vitello has been so kind to us and coming on and cutting up with us that we need to really, really, you know, go the extra mile to support the Tennessee baseball program.
Dave
says he's holding up his end of the deal, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt. We need to get him on again next week. Dave says, Russ, I'm a little shocked you don't have a dog walker named Bear. Yeah, hey, Bear, I need you to get over here and walk Gustav pronto.
I've told you for years now, you need, especially since you got that, you know, nice house out there at Stately Smith Manor, you ought to get your kids a puppy. And I came really close to pulling the trigger, but I thought you and the missus would kill me. That's what your kids almost got for Christmas, was a dog from Uncle Bear.
Yeah. I wouldn't have killed you, but I would have been like, dude, why did you do that? First of all, I have to disappoint my kids. And second of all, I have to take this dog to Young Williams or wherever you take an unwanted dog.
You would not if I brought over a
I'm not keeping a dog puppy just because you bring it to me.
If I went out and got your kids a golden retriever puppy, you telling me you're going to take a golden puppy to the pound? Don't lie.
I mean, I don't know. What do you do with an unwanted dog?
It would have been unwanted.
Yes, it would have.
I guarantee you, you know, the two kids would have loved it.
That's not the issue at hand. It's me, the guy who has to walk the thing, pick up its crap, clean up after it, do all the stuff.
Well, I mean, no, you house train it and you let it out the back door, Russ. We could have installed an invisible fence around your backyard.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I thought about it long and hard one night.
How much does a dog like that even cost?
Well, I've got a friend that breeds them, and she had a litter, and she was going to give me a deal on it.
A deal?
Yeah, I mean,
20% off, buy one get one.
It was going to be a couple hundred, $300, but you know, it was going to be worth it just to see the look on your face, because there was no way you could, if they had opened that box down there, that was going to be your dog.
Oh, no, it would have been – you must not know me as well as you think. It would have been really easy. It would be like, yeah, okay, kids. You know Uncle Bear is a little bit nutty in the head. I'm sorry, but you go ahead and play with this dog. Tomorrow, he's going wherever unwanted dogs go. That's the
yeah.
deal.
He would have gone back to my house, but I don't know. I'm thinking about getting a new dog.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of toying with what kind of breed I want this time.
Husky.
I go with a German Shepherd. Nah, Husky's too much. Husky's too much.
Well, yeah, it's Husky's too much. I think I'll keep it light and get a German Shepherd.
I mean, Huskies have problems in this climate. I had friends going, my next door neighbor had Huskies growing up. They had all kinds of problems in the heat. Got to look at that. I don't know. German Shepherd.
What happens to them in the heat? They just freak out?
No, it's just they have, you know, certain health problems. It's just they are not climatized.
Like stuff with their blood or something?
Well, no. Have you ever been around a Husky or felt their fur? I mean, I got like three coats.
Yeah, it's got to be a house dog down here with how hot it gets in the summer. It's got to stay in an AC environment.
Man, you can't just leave them outside.
Absolutely
I'll tell you what I've been
though.
Looking at is a Labweiler.
Boy, I grew up next when I was a real little kid. The house next door had this Rottweiler. Moxie was its name. Most terrifying dog. Just meaner than a this one is not a sweetheart. This one wanted to kill me. Nothing. Just walk by its house. Like this dog come out, and they were like one of the first houses in the neighborhood to have the invisible fence. And this dog was so mean and so DGAF that they put two of those shock collars on it, and it would still just power right through. Did not care. Like if it wanted to, I was always extra careful, but there were a couple of close calls.
Some members of the 37 are saying your next gift you receive might just be a dog.
Huh. Well, I hope not, because the last thing they sent me stayed in the mailbox out there for like 2 weeks until somebody finally brought it in. That's all we need is a starved dog out here. We need the PETA people marching down here. Cody McClure already got the Catholics on us a couple of years ago. We barely survived that. Now the 37 are going to send us a dog in the mail. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm glad you brought him up, but I talked to McClure last night, and he had a message for you. He's apparently been having recurring dreams that you are in, Russell.
Excuse me?
Yeah, he was being straight up truthful. He said, yeah.
Great.
Tell Russell I keep having dreams with him in them. Sometimes the rest of you guys are in them, but sometimes you're not.
Sausage.
Russell's always there.
I love sausage.
So, I mean, I immediately texted back. I mean, were they erotic in nature? And he immediately texted me back, no. I'm not sure about that. So,
I'm a big sausage guy.
We are his dad's favorite radio show.
I'm a big sausage guy. I love sausage.
Shout out to Mr. McClure. Hashtag come home, Cody.
Oh, I thought you said Mr. McClure's Bobby, his dad, Bobby McClure.
I love sausage, for one. I'm a big sausage guy. Nothing like a big kielbasa. Just right. Great.
How's it make you feel Cody's dreaming about you, Russ?
I mean, I've always said I live in his head rent-free.
Go that far. He says you look like Bert from Ernie and Bert off Sesame Street.
Good enough for me and Bobby McClure. Stay with us. The drive continues. The shocking conclusion coming up. Wrapping up the show on a Friday. Russell and Bear wrapping up the week. It's been a good week.
Solid.
Good week of shows. I don't know that it's been the loss to Kentucky. It's not fun. I guess technically that is last week. The win over Vanderbilt was not a barrel of laughs by any stretch of the imagination. And the news that we started the show with today was not a lot of fun either. Ty Simpson not coming here. Maybe we can finish it off strong tomorrow, Bear. We have not talked about Tennessee and Auburn hardly at all tomorrow. What's the deal with Sharif Cooper? Is he going to play? Do we know? Anybody?
I don't think anybody knows right now. I mean, he's not. I don't think he was hurt. I think he just kind of a deal where he was thinking about just starting to get ready for the NBA draft. So.
Well, they said he's in a walking boot. Like, I think he is banged up. It might be one of those. But, I mean, it could be one of those things where both of those things are true. It's like he's hurt, really not at any risk of further injury. But what's the point when you're playing for an Auburn team that, I mean, if we're having a lackluster season, what are they having?
Well, I mean, they basically, this is their last game of the year.
Bruce Pearl said he's doubtful. He said he didn't practice yesterday. He was there all day. He shot around a little bit. He's in the training room as many hours as he can be. It's a pretty good ankle sprain. Typically take week 3 or week 4. So on paper, we should beat them anyway. We should beat them regardless. But specifically without their best player, their star point guard, we should really beat them. We should beat them decisively, I would say.
Well, and Vandy did play us better without their two best players.
Yeah, and Florida beat us without their guys, and it's Bruce
Three
Pearl.
Best players.
And it's Bruce Pearl, who, let's be honest, owns us. So, I don't know about you guys, I just don't feel confident at all going into tomorrow.
No. I don't, but that being said, I think we could, you know, we could win it. I just don't expect to.
Did you know Keon Johnson's mom played basketball at Auburn?
I think I'd heard that. What's her name?
Consuela Sparrow.
Consuela Sparrow?
Evidently.
That's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
No, I did not know that. But so, Josh J. Rich's mom was a big-time college basketball player.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is their outlive game, so Bruce will be wearing that T-shirt and doing his Bruce thing. And we'll have voluntary reaction for you about 2 p.m. as soon as it's over.
Yeah, we'll have an early day tomorrow.
Get on out of here and do our thing. And then we have a week off to get ready for Florida. I don't know. I'll try and be positive about it. Big win tomorrow, even if – Auburn isn't very good. I think that just beating Bruce Pearl on the road at Auburn, I feel like it would give us a puncher's chance. I feel like that would – you have a week to get ready for the next game against Florida. You're playing them at home where we traditionally play them well. I feel like there's still a chance. There's still a chance that we could get this thing turned around. But we're going to have to adjust the approach. I think we got to go small ball. I think we got to de-emphasize John Fulkerson's role in our offense. Doesn't mean he can't play. Just means doesn't play as much, and we're not just throwing him the ball.
Yeah, we need to go that four-guard
and we got to limit the mid-range jumpers.
Lineup.
All right, we will see. Should be interesting. Tip-off is at noon tomorrow, and we will be with you live right here around 2 as soon as it is over. Thank you, Bear.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Adam Hickman. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Have a great weekend, folks. Overtime is up next. We'll do it again Monday right here on Fan Run Radio.